Perfect. Our illustration object lesson is still up here, and I left it up. And what we did this morning, we had that full jar of sand representing us as we have put our faith and trust in Christ, and we still have, we're filled up with all the things that we used to do in our life, such as control our own life, do what we wanted. I remember, anything I wanted, I worked, and so I just bought it. I mean, it's just whatever I wanted in my life, I did. And then once we're saved, we still are filled up with that. And yet then God says that when we put our faith and trust in Christ, he gives us the Holy Spirit, and then he commands that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet we poured the water in and it wouldn't go in because we're full of ourselves yet. And so we poured some out, and you see it's actually clearing up a little bit, but if you notice, we still have some self stuck in that jar, and so we haven't made the room all available for the Spirit of God to fill us up. And the Spirit of God is what God has given to us to lead us into all truth in his word, to give us understanding of what God wants for our life as a believer, and to be able to have the power to apply it into our life. And as we said this morning, when we take God's word and we allow it to dwell in us richly, the only thing it can do is make us different. The word we used was, it would transform us into what God wants us to be. It's as if you had a project. Maybe you make things or build furniture or do different things. We have a fellow in our church, and they've got a shop, and they do different things. I think they're semi-retired, but they work all the time. So I don't know. The one fellow says they're brothers, and one says, I work when I want to. But it seems they did the harvest. Right now they're working 2 weeks, 15 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I don't know how that's being semi-retired. And they just did the potato harvest. I didn't know this, but up where we live is one of the largest potato areas in the country. I always thought it was Idaho. And they have all different kinds of potatoes, and it's huge industry up there. And they also do carrots, beets, onions. So anyway, one of these guys is really mechanical. And so he got an old go-kart and completely rebuilt it, fabricated everything for the pastor's son. And it was a project. He had in mind what he was going to do, and then he fabricated it. That's kind of what God has. God has fashioned us with a plan in mind, and what he's doing with the Spirit of God is he is putting us together in order to accomplish that plan. And so what his desire is that we yield ourselves, we're going to look at that tonight, talking about yielding ourselves, we need to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God so that he can do the work that's best in our life. And we ended talking about how do we do that? And we talked about being on the Spirit-filled path. Now I'm going to just back up here in my notes on the Spirit-filled path, and then we looked at that includes the life of consecration. We looked up some scriptures about that, and then we ended with talking about this J. Oswald Sanders and his quote where he said, no one can be filled with the Spirit of God if he is neglecting the Word of God, and made the emphasis that we need to be in the book. We need to be in this Word. If you're a believer tonight, God's will, and he says, 2 Timothy 2:15, what does he say? Study to show yourself approved unto God. And the only way to do that is to be in the Word of God and study it and ask God to make it clear to your mind and heart what he has for you. So this is where we ended. So the Spirit-filled life is, number one, walking cautiously, staying away from danger, knowing that the enemy is going about seeking whom he may devour, Satan himself, and he's going to try every way he can to try and cause us to be ineffective as a believer in Jesus Christ. Number two, walking a consecrated life, being set apart for God and what God's purpose and plan is for our life. Number two then, Roman numeral number two, is the Spirit-filled purpose. Why should a believer seek to be Spirit-filled? What's the purpose? You know, I mean, we need to really understand, why would God put us through that type of effort? Because we said it's an effort. Taking and being in God's Word every day, seeking to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, it takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of decisions that we have to make in our life, setting up those boundaries, that it takes a lot of effort. So what is that purpose? Well, the path of caution and consecration has a purpose. It prepares us to be Spirit-filled. Recently, I remodeled my oldest daughter's bathroom, which she's very thankful for that. It was old. It was leaking everywhere. The wall was kind of disintegrating. And so she wanted a shower, a full-size shower. So we went in there, and it took me 2 weeks because I'm older and I work slower. I did have a lot of help. My son-in-law came over and some of the gutting phase of it, destruction phase of it. But we had to take out a steel tub, and when I got the steel tub out, it was surrounded with ceramic tile. So instead of taking every tile off, I tried to cut the wall up, and then the wall pieces weighed like 80 pounds. I mean, everything was heavy. Everything was hard to do, and I'm thankful my son-in-law came and hauled all that stuff out for me outside. But it had to be gutted, and it was a difficult, hard, dirty task to do. But it had to be done before the shower and the new vanity and the new sink and the flooring, everything could be put in. But the end product looked like a brand new bathroom. That's what God's purpose is in our life. He wants to throw out all the old. He wants to dump everything out of the jar, and then he wants to fill it with something brand new. Now let's look at some scripture here. Ephesians 5:18. And he does all that, the path of caution and consecration, in order to prepare us to allow the Spirit to fill us. Verse 18 in Ephesians 5:18 says this, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So number one under the Spirit-filled purpose is it needs to be a determined purpose. If the Spirit of God is to control our life, we must stay clear of all competition. It has to be something we determine to do. And here he talks about in verse 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine." This command could not be more clearly stated. In fact, I'm going to read this. Now, the last time when I preached this message, I didn't read this, and I probably should have. Take your Bible to Proverbs chapter 23. I really should have done it then, and so I'm going to do it tonight. So you get open right in the middle to Psalms and then Proverbs 23. This is such a clear passage on be not drunk with wine. Okay. Almost there. If you have your technology going, you're there already. So Proverbs 23 and verse, we're going to start with verse 29. Got one more page. There we go. And I'm going to read through verse 35. So the Bible says this, Proverbs 23:29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that hath lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick? They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. What a strong warning that we have here in the book of Proverbs against being drunk with wine, using alcoholic drink. What alcohol does, and that's why the Apostle Paul used that in this verse, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, because alcohol takes control of your life. Now, before I was saved, I consumed, I suppose I could say, my amount of alcoholic, what they call now adult beverages. And there were times when I no longer was in control of myself. It took over control of me. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to say here. He's trying to say, just like wine takes control of a person's life, makes them do things they would never otherwise do, makes them think things they would never otherwise do, be involved in things that they know are not proper to be involved in. He says, so instead, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. As wine would control a person's life, let the Holy Spirit control your life. It's going to be 100% different, because the Holy Spirit is never going to lead you in a place where you ought not to be. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to do something you ought not to do. It will never take you to think things that you ought not to think, and then end up in a place of destruction. The Holy Spirit is in the business of making the best in the life of a believer. And so he uses that as a comparison. So this has to be taken at face value, that God wants the best for our life. And so we need to have a determined purpose, that God would fill us with his Spirit so that we would be able to be what he wants us to be. Secondly, it needs a yielded purpose. Ephesians 5:18, but be filled with the Spirit. To be filled is to make full, to fill to the full, cause to abound. It contrasts being filled and controlled by wine and being filled and controlled by the Spirit. The key word is to yield. And the word yield here, and we're going to look at it here in Romans 6:13, if you want to turn there. The word yield means to give up, to devote or employ your members to. And so as we think of this, Romans 6:13, the Bible says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. So do not give up your members, do not devote them or employ your members to as instruments of unrighteousness. And as it talks about members, it's talking about every part of us, talking about our mind, our heart, all our members, everything about us. It says that we ought not to yield it as an instrument of unrighteousness, but we are to yield ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of unto God, of righteousness unto God. So the key, if we're going to have a yielded purpose, is to yield ourselves unto God and unto his word and what God says in his word. God wants our lives to be yielded to him. Andrew Murray said this. He, and I quote him, men ought to seek with their whole hearts to be yielded to him. Without being filled with the Spirit, it is utterly impossible for an individual or a church to be able to live or work as God desires. without being yielded to him and being filled with the Spirit, we're basically, God wants to use us, and he desires and he tries and makes efforts to use us, but it's very difficult unless we are yielded to him and filled with the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit is a command, and we looked at that. It's a command. It says, for this is the will of God. In the next verse, be filled with the Spirit. It's not a suggestion or an appeal. A lot of times in churches today, many of the things that are taught or considered are almost put out as a suggestion for us as a believer. Well, we kind of suggest this is what you do. We kind of suggest you ought to read your Bible, you know, suggest that you ought to, you know, stay away from places that are not a biblical type place for you to be in. But being filled with the Spirit is not a suggestion or an appeal. It is a command. And when we're filled, we are blessed with spiritual liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In sin and in the flesh, we are in bondage. Now, many times we don't look at it that way, but when we are living a sinful life, or we're living a life where allowing the flesh control in our life, it's leading us to bondage. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ will break those bonds. Well, that's where it says here, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Many times we don't understand what that liberty really is, but that liberty is to do everything that God wants us to do and be everything God wants us to be. That's true liberty. And I'll tell you, in my life, now I'm older, not as old as some of you. I'm getting there, though. But I have found in my life that I was saved when I was 21 years old, that I have found that as I'm as old as I am now, the Christian life, I told some people, we had a church picnic at our house, and I said, you know, I like church. I like being with God's people. It's such a blessing when I can come to church and be with God's people. It's a blessing. It's an encouragement to me. I look forward to it. And there's people that you almost got to drag to church. They don't want to be there because church is, it's a place where God is trying to help us to be a more biblical Christian and to live a life that would be more honoring to God. And so I said that. Now, in our church, though, it's kind of different because every Sunday night and Wednesday night, there's people that bring snacks. And so after the service, and now they're bringing crock pot meals. And so in reality, you sit there and you go, I said, now I could say, boy, I really like church because then I could get to eat after the service. But that's not it. Yeah, that's a fringe benefit, isn't it? That's a fringe benefit. But one lady brings us desserts, and the other one brings crock pots. So it's interesting. But I said that at that picnic. I said, I enjoy being with God's people. I enjoy God's word. I enjoy the preaching at our church. And we have a good pastor who preaches well. And don't come after him here, please. We enjoy him so much. But okay, I forgot. So, but when we are filled with the Spirit, we are filled with all the blessings of this spiritual liberty. What is the result then of all this work and effort? Because it's work and effort to be filled with the Spirit. It's work and effort to deny the things that Satan brings into our path and to set up that boundary and things. It takes a lot of work to be a biblical Christian. It takes a lot of work just to study the Bible. I have eSword, and maybe some of you have eSword. If you don't, it's a free download on your computer. And eSword is a Bible study program, and you can download all sorts of commentaries and things that you can use. Some of them you have to purchase. But in that study, you can read the Word of God and go and find out how people, you know, if you say, well, I don't understand exactly what that means, and you go in those commentaries, and it's interesting how you start reading it, and God gives you that understanding, and then you see why God wants that to be a part of your life. And that's why being in this Word is so important. But what's the result then of all this work and effort? Well, Roman numeral number 3, the Spirit-filled product. And that's what we're trying to have as our goal. Ephesians 5:19 says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. When we're filled with the Spirit, it will produce a different type of life. Galatians 5:22-25, very familiar verses for us. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's a different type of life than people that are in the world have. It's completely different. It's completely opposite. People in the world that are never put their faith and trust in Christ, they do not have love. One person described it as this: most worldly people in their relationships, they have lust, not love. They don't have biblical love, agape love. They don't have joy. They have to kind of ramp up joy. You know, drug use has just skyrocketed. They just passed with a referendum, and I'm trying to think what state it was. I think it was Ohio or whatever state it was, and those that you follow politics, they now have recreational marijuana is legal. And a lot of people, and I knew people before I was saved, they got joy out of using what, and they say the marijuana today is different than what it was when I was young. And it could have anything in it, and yet that's how they get the joy in their life. That's not what this is talking about. This is called biblical joy. Peace, no peace. We were at a funeral one time when we were in Wyoming. A young man was his mother was married to, I think that's what it was. Either his mother or father was Indian, and it was an Indian tribe out there in Wyoming. And when they had the funeral, we had one at the church, and they had a funeral at the Indian tribe funeral, had one. And when they were at the church, the people, the family members, were weeping out loud. They didn't have any peace. They didn't, and of course, when we have a funeral for someone that is a born again believer, we know, and if they've been sick for a long time or if they had difficulties in things, we know that they are absent from the body, and they're with Jesus, and we can rejoice and celebrate that very fact. Well, the world's not like that. So as we think of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, it's completely different than what the world has. These qualities, every believer desires them, or should, but they don't come because we try hard to have them. It's kind of like a New Year's resolution. We make that resolution, and it lasts a very short period of time. They only come as we yield our desires to the control of the Holy Spirit and allow them to produce those in our life. So what are some of those things? Well, number one, It has the product of joy. It says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A spirit-filled person experiences the joy of the Lord. I remember when we lost our three sons in that accident, and it's been a long time ago, 1995. I remember my wife and I were in the backyard sitting on a big stump of a tree, and we were weeping. And yet we knew, in fact, one of the boys, the middle boy, had in his wallet, he had a statement that he had trusted Jesus Christ. So we knew that they, all three boys, had put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, they were young. And we knew that they were in heaven with Jesus. We still wept because it was such a loss. But it's hard to understand it, but there was joy in that, knowing that they were with Jesus, even though today, as we think of that, it would be nice to have them with us. And it may be a little bit in the sense of they could take care of us. You know, you think if you have nice, strong sons, well, you think they're going to take care of you. My youngest daughter said she may just put us in a home. Is she in here? She's not here. And take our money. No, she never said that. But that joy, you have joy amidst sorrow. The world doesn't have that. And so a spirit-filled person experiences the joy of the Lord. To have joy in happy times is natural. In difficult or pressing times is supernatural. Acts 16:25 says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." If you recall what happened to Paul and Silas, they were beaten, they were chained, they were suffering, and yet they were singing out praises to God. And remember what the jailer did after that? That's the effect that had, but we can have that joy. This happened when Paul and Silas were in their darkest hour. Joy is not found in trying to control our circumstances, but by yielding our lives over to the Spirit for His control. Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3 says this, and I just look at the time there. It says this, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." What a wonderful thing to have that joy in our life. Number two, it has the product of gratitude. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things. Now here again we have this word all. So giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Have you thanked God today for saving you? You know, sometimes that, you know, you'd say, well, that's a given. I do think. But you know what? Every day we ought to thank God. Just think where we would be without Him pulling us out of that miry clay and putting our feet on the rock. You know, sometimes I think back to before I was saved. I have no idea where I would have ended up. I was on a real slippery slope. I had no purpose. I dropped out of two colleges. I really had no direction in my life what I was going to do. I have no clue where I would have ended up. I worked at a place, a medical supply house, that the guy next door, it was a building where several businesses, he counted nuts and bolts in barrels. I could end up doing that. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad job, but I don't know where I would have ended up. I'm thankful every day that God saved me and he gave me purpose in my life. Boy, we need to have that product of gratitude in our life to God for what he's done for us. A manifestation of someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit is that they give thanks to God for everything, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And then thirdly, it has the product of cooperation. Ephesians 5:21 says this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Everyone likes cooperative people. You know, I've worked quite a few different places, and you ever work with someone that just doesn't want to cooperate? I remember I was using some people. I was working for CertaPro Painters, and I had these two guys. One guy worked for him for a while. The other guy was new. In fact, they put him with me so I could see if he was any good, because they used subcontractors. He said he was a paint contractor. He showed up the first day of work, and he didn't even have a paintbrush. And I let him use my paintbrushes. And after about two or three days that week, he said, do you think I should buy some paintbrushes? I said, I think that'd be probably a good idea. And he was a paint catcher. Well, he lied about it. So they put us on a job where they were up on a roof painting, and I came around the building and I said, you got to have a drop cloth on that roof. You can't get paint on the guy's roof. Oh, this isn't our first rodeo. I said, I don't care what rodeo it is. Get a drop cloth. And they were belligerent. It's hard to work with people like that. Everyone likes cooperative people to be around. Being a team player is difficult. When we are daily dying to self, a willingness to serve others is going to shine through. So the more we empty ourselves out of the jar and let the Spirit of God fill us, we're going to be able to work as a unit, as a team, as we serve Jesus Christ. It's difficult to get along with everybody. There's people that we can say, boy, you know, I just, some things rub me wrong. But when we are dying to self, God gives us the grace to work with people, especially in the ministry. There is so much work to be done. The Bible says the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. We need to start getting together as a team and go after that harvest. The Spirit-filled Christian is willing to take the position of a servant. Mark 10:45 says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So to have these products of a spirit-filled life, we need to have that joy. We need to have a gratitude, a thankfulness toward God for what he's done. And then we need to have a cooperation in serving others. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit to be in control of our lives. So, in conclusion, to have a spirit-controlled life, we need to, number one, realize there's a path to be on. We need to get on the path. That path is one of caution, making sure we understand that we're living in a real world. The real world is that Satan is going about seeking whom he can devour. He cannot take our salvation away. We're right now in this Wednesday night that I'm doing up at our church. I'm teaching on back to the basics. And we're teaching about the one thing I'm teaching, which I didn't get very far, but the assurance of salvation, where the Bible says that no man can pluck us out of, Jesus said, out of his hand. And then he says, and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. The strongest words ever used in the Bible about how God holds us fast. So Satan can't take our salvation away. but he can undermine our life. And so it needs to be a life of caution, a life of consecration. Number two, we need to realize there's a purpose to gain. There's a determined purpose. We have to determine to allow the Spirit of God to fill us. And then it needs to be a yielded purpose. And I just took, I'm trying to get a CDL, so I took the sign test. And I passed it 100%. I took, I think, 15 practice tests. So I whatever I got wrong, I knew what I got wrong. And the yield sign, that's an important sign. And when you come to a yield sign, and mostly you come to yield signs at roundabouts, which I don't know why they exist. I go and preach in Manitowoc, and there's 7 roundabouts on a country road. Why they're there, I still don't understand, but it probably costs a lot of money. A yield sign means that you have to slow down, and if someone else is coming, you have to yield and let them come through. And as we yield, you know who's coming? The Holy Spirit of God. He's coming through, and we need to yield to him. And that's how important that is in our life. And that means we have to give him the right of way in our life. Number three, we need to desire the products of such a choice, and that is to have joy, this gratitude and thankfulness to God, and a servant's heart. Are you allowing God to control your life today? Are you allowing him to fill you with the Spirit of God? God says it's his command. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Let me close with this. And we may be early. Are we early? I don't even know. We're not. We're late. Okay, we're right on time. Perfectly on time. Our pastor read this, and it's kind of, sometimes he'll read like I do. You know, some things a little lighter. But he read this, and let me read it to you. A very timid man, man's turn came up to give a devotional, and the men in the church would give devotionals to the church. He said, does anyone know, he got up, he said, does anyone know what I'm going to say? And they replied, no. He said, I don't know either, and ran from the room. A second time, he came up to do his devotion, and he said this, does anyone know what I'm going to say? And they said, yes. Then I don't have anything to say, and he ran from the room. A third time, he came to give his devotion, and he said this, he says, does anyone know what I'm going to say today? Half of the people said yes, and half said no. Then he said, well, then you that know what I'm going to say, tell the other half that don't know. Now, he used that because he was preaching about the gospel, and he said, you know, there's probably more than half of the people we come in contact with that do not know that Jesus died for them on the cross of Calvary. And if we know that, he said, then you know what? We ought to tell the others that do not know. That's the job God's given us. So maybe this week as you go out and you're going to come across people, carry gospel tracts. You know, the best way to give out gospel tracts is actually to have them with you. Because if you don't have a gospel tract with you, you really can't give one to someone. So carry gospel tracts. Be ready. The Bible says to be ready with the answer to give to those people that need to know. But if you know, and Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, and you know what Jesus has done for you, then find someone that doesn't know and have that opportunity to share that with them. All right, let's pray, and then we'll have...